So welcome to the Fuck Therapy podcast, and I am so excited to be back. We have taken a little break over the last couple of months, had a little bit of difficulty trying to organize people for interviews and so forth. It's been a hectic time all around the world, but guess what? We are back. And today what we thought we would do, I have a special guest, an incredible guest, an amazing guest, someone that has been working side by side with me for the last 2 or 3 years, editing all of my videos, publishing my content, building the website, getting on the membership page, creating all this amazing stuff. So welcome to the Fuck Therapy podcast, Trisha, you superstar. What is happening?
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. And it feels different being in front than being the one editing it, even if I'm still going to be editing it.
I'm definitely used to being on the other side of it. And, you know, publicly, I have to thank you for everything that you do more than anything else. Like, you have to be sick of my bloody voice.
No, I mean, we've been editing a lot of old videos, so I miss hearing your voice real time.
That's incredible. So what we thought we would do today is just share a little bit of behind the scenes in what we do, why we do it, how we do it. And so if you are interested in those sorts of things and talk about some of the brainstorming sessions we had, this podcast actually came out of a brainstorming session where we talk so much incredible content between Trish and I. How do we add value to our membership? How do we add value to all the people that support us around the world? And through those discussions, we talk about some incredible stuff that never, ever makes it to video. So we thought, what the hell? Let's just get the mics going, have a bit of a discussion and see where this goes. So have no idea. We've got no structures, no questions, nothing pre-planned. So what you're going to hear today is, I don't really know, but if that excites you, hang around.
I'm very excited. So we got nothing planned. We don't have topic because for the two of us, this is how we always get good ideas. Bumming around with each other's brain. So yeah. And we came up with a lot of great concepts throughout almost 3 years now.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. So effectively, like, we talk about, you know, my purpose, and it's to ignite people's potential into meaningful action, you know, so they can live a life of freedom, fulfillment, and gratitude. And that really resonated with Trish. So then we sort of go out of our way to do that. And we deal in a lot of trauma. The space that we work in a lot of is trauma recovery. You know, so many people are out there are absolutely grappling with identity, with self-worth, with self-trust, with self-respect, with understanding how to handle a situation, how to manage boundaries, how to deal with narcissism. What is narcissism? All of these sorts of things. And behind the scenes, we work tirelessly to try and produce content to give people that understanding, that idea. And one of the hard things when you're producing content is so many of your videos are missed. Social media platforms don't publish your content to your followers.
Yeah.
It's this really weird thing where you'll have questions asked, you answer that question in the video, but the person that asked the question may not necessarily receive that video, and therefore it goes into the never-never. Some people might pick it up, some people might resonate with it, but it definitely is hard to get things flowing at times, particularly if you want to do a series. People might get one video of a series of a dozen that we put out there. And if that's missing the mark, you've got to be careful that you're not missing your audience or new audience, so it becomes very difficult.
Yeah.
But in the background, we talk about so many topics, subjects, and we get into areas where we're really delving into political incorrectness.
Yeah.
Is probably the best way to say that. So we want to navigate things like, what is a woman? What is a man? You know, is there such a thing as anything in between? What does that look like? How do we actually express that in today's society, where not to cause an uproar, not to get banned on social media? Yeah. And sometimes to touch these subjects, you've got to say things that can get you in a lot of trouble. You know, we talk a lot about sexual assault, very difficult subject to talk about at the best of times. And right now I'm going to go a little bit into sexual assault. So a little bit of a trigger warning here. If you grapple with this subject, I'm going to be really tactful, and I'm going to deliver this as sensitively as I can, but this is also an unedited version of what we're doing today and some of the areas that we explore that are a little bit taboo. Some of the areas that we explore, you all will resonate with you.
Yeah.
You know, in this particular podcast isn't going to be pitched to women or to men. It's going to be pitched to everyone. So we're going to cross quite a few topics and we're going to try and pitch them from different angles. So I hope that warning just gives you a preface to where this is going. At any point, if anything that we talk about triggers you, please, you know, maybe turn it off, reach out to someone, you know, get moving, but just be prepared that we are going to hit on a few subjects. So talking about sexual assault, you know, one of the reasons that we talk about it so much is that we come across it every single day. There's almost not a day where I don't get a comment or I'm in a one-on-one session or a group session where sexual assault is an issue. And that's everything from the obvious where someone has been raped all the way through to a married couple potentially where usually the wife is unaware that she's in a sexually abusive relationship and is unaware that she has certain rights to say no to her body, to her being, and we're touching it from that subject. We also delve into the horrible subject of pedophilia, you know, where people have been touched under the age of 18, and well under the age of 18, right under ages of 10. You know, some of the people I've dealt with have dealt with this their entire life. It's all they knew. So we dig into it from all of those levels. One of the new concepts that Trish and I came up with, and then this really did come up from a discussion, was Trish and I were talking about, and I think you'll recall this, Trish, we were talking about how do we dig beyond an understanding, give people an understanding beyond the status quo of consent.
I remember us talking about how is consent truly given to a person and like what wording, because some can be used as it was given a consent, but
yeah,
in the matter of how it's delivered, it's not consensual. It's those kind of things that
absolutely, you know, where is to them. We talk about where is that line.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where is the line?
Such a blurry line when it comes to consent. And like, where is the line of saying no is a no, yes is a yes?
Yeah.
What is the line of yes and no? Like, yes, we can do this, but no on this areas. You know,
100%. And when?
Yeah.
At what point can you say yes and then change your mind and say no afterward?
Yeah, absolutely. And just going back to what you were saying before with the consent and with sexual assault being such a hard topic, it's still a taboo to talk about it, saying that, yes, I consent to this, but I don't consent onto these other parts. And that person can 100% judge you for saying no, because a lot of people still get a lot of hate or anger from their partner or even other people for just saying no to things they like and they don't like.
Yeah, yeah. And in among that, it is, what are the consequences of saying no?
No, absolutely. Yeah. For men and women, it can be different and the same, because for men, if you say no, you get said that you're weak, you're things like that. And if you're a woman, it's almost the same thing. But at the same time, it can also be so different because of the coercion, the manipulation. It goes for both ways.
100%. You know, it is one of those areas where, you know, at what point, you know, can a woman say no, where it's not considered that you are a tease?
Yeah.
Not considered that you led me on. It's not considered this was all you. I'm here because of you. And now you're no. You can't change your mind now.
Yeah.
Right. We've gone on a date. Does a date mean consent? Right. I paid for your meal. Does that now trigger consent.
Yeah.
I paid for your meal. I picked you up. Now there's an obligation.
Yeah.
Right? Is obligation consent? Does obligation trigger consent?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these are all the variables. Without doubt, from a man's perspective, you're right. You know, if a man is to say no, is he considered infertile? Is he considered weak? Is he considered, you know, a whole lot of negativity around a guy saying no?
Yeah.
And we have to respect both sides of that. You know, mm-hmm. most of my content does pitch toward, without question, it definitely pitches toward the majority. In majority of the cases, I'm typically referring to stories from when women have been sexually abused. But the thing that most people don't know is that a lot of this started for me because I was sexually assaulted as a young man, and therefore I know it from the man's perspective. Some of the hate comments I get when I put posts out is that I might pitch a post and it might be specifically talking to men to back off.
Mm-hmm.
So the post is specific. I'm not covering everything in a 30-second or 60-second video. I'm being very targeted, very specific, very poignant to say that, no, you know, to a man, back off. You can scare a woman, knock off, take a step back, whatever it might be. That doesn't mean that I don't recognize it doesn't go the other way. It doesn't mean that what I am saying only applies to men and women in the context of the story. Of course, everything that we say can flip around both ways. Absolutely. If you are a human, you have the right to say no at any point in time. So out of our discussion and out of that like heartbreak where because I'm working with women all day, every day, and I'm listening to their stories and I'm hearing the trauma that they've suffered, not only at the time of the abuse or at the times of the abuse, but how it's affected their life years down the track, decades down the track, and how it's got to the point where, you know, some can't even continue, and that then delves into another subject.
Yeah.
And one of the common denominators that we spoke about was that everyone I talk to that has suffered a level of sexual assault feels a level of guilt.
Yeah. And that's like the number one similarity of every person that we've come across with in videos and podcasts and everything. There's guilt. Everybody has their guilt. And I understand it to a point because I have my own experiences as well. And like the guilt of what I did to that person's, let's say I told the police about the issue that he was doing to me. There's a certain guilt that he's in jail now and it's because of me. And a lot of people have similar experiences as well, that they've put their ex-husbands in far away or hated by their families and everyone around them because they found out the situations. And it's something that people carry in the back of their mind. It's people carry them in either in front subconsciously or just it's something they think about every day. It's for everyone. But at the same time, everybody has that guilt for that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things that we do as people that have been abused is we take a level of accountability and responsibility for the actions of the other person based on how we reacted.
Yeah.
And what I try and teach is to separate ourselves from that, right? It's kind of like you wouldn't, you know, if I was to physically, you know, push you to the ground and you were to fall, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to take accountability for the falling? Of course not.
Yeah.
Right? But as soon as we throw in a something as complicated as sexual assault, then our brains don't know how to process the trauma because there's so many moving parts. Then comes the line of terrible questioning that gets asked. You know, did you seduce them? Did you do this? Did you dress this way? Did you say this? Did you, right? All these things passively, aggressively, almost suggestively saying that, you know, come on, what part of accountability and responsibility are you going to take for what happened?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely putrid the way in which it goes around. But that's what happens. You have unskilled people asking terrible questions because they're trying. The purpose of the police is to get to the bottom of the situation. They're looking at it from a completely different angle than a psychological angle that the person is suffering right now in this moment.
Yeah.
Then you get the people that froze.
Yeah.
Right. So that they froze, and therefore they didn't say no.
Yeah.
And therefore, well, I didn't say no.
Yeah.
If I didn't say no, well, then how are they to know that it was a how are they to 100% know that it was a no if I didn't say no and I didn't punch and I didn't kick and I didn't scream and I didn't cry and I didn't at the time I just froze. I froze dead.
Yeah.
And you're going, so that there was another layer that we had to sort of work through to provide an answer. Now, academically, we all know the answer to that. And if you look outside your own story, you would never justify it. But again, psychologically, we can bring it back to our story. Guilt comes in, shame comes in. We get filled with it.
Yeah. And so a lot of, just remembering that before we had a video saying, you had a video that says it's easier for people to suggest saying that for a loved one. You won't do that for a loved one, but why are you doing that for yourself? And it's similar to the same thing that why are you guilty when for other people they shouldn't be guilty? It's those mindset and psychological factors that it's that we teach to differentiate to people and to put it side by side and not together.
Yeah. And then I was talking to another beautiful woman and I'm not going to go into too much detail. Obviously, it's too sensitive to share this. But what I will say is that the duration of time that she was sexually assaulted by family members, you know, in between the ages of 5 and 25, right, the level of accountability and responsibility for what was happening psychologically shifted in her mind as she grew because she's, as an adult woman, she rationalized that at 5 there was nothing I could do about it. At 12, perhaps I could have done, by 14, I should have said, by 16, I should have been at least, I should have known better. By 18, by 20, and her level of accountability, guilt, responsibility, you know, has taken her to such a horrific place. And again, we come back to, you know, that imprinted mindset of consent.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going, this is, we keep talking consent, we keep talking consent. And what happens, right? When you've suffered it, people have heard it all when it comes to consent, or at least that's what they thought until you and I came up with, right, a couple of different ideas when we were workshopping it. And I remember ringing you up one day and I said, I think I've got it.
Yeah.
I think I've found a way of communicating this in a way that will be different.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that may help people even more than what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And I said to you, because, okay, so now some commentary, right? Breaking from the story and getting into some commentary. I come up with a whole lot of pea brain ideas, right? And in that exchange, I'll ring Trish and go, Trish, let me run you by something. And she'll go, what? And I'll go, you know, A, B, C, D, E. And she'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You need more context and explain.
Well, I get a bit excited. I get a bit animated. So I'm kind of like, right, I'm into this.
Yeah.
And I'll run a concept, an idea, and then Trish might ask me some questions. And then I might go a bit further and then I'll, okay, no, it's not working. And then I might ring 2 days later, Trish.
Remember when we were talking about the other day on a topic and so be it. Yeah, okay.
So I rang her up and I said, I want to run this concept by you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you know the difference between consent and permission?
Yeah.
And do you understand the correlation between the two for sexual permission, for sexual consent? And she said, explain more. And I said, consent comes from free will.
Yeah.
Right. And this is what's so powerful about it. Consent comes from free will. In other words, it cannot be manipulated and coerced. Consent is the willingness from free will to give permission.
Yeah.
That's consent. It's the willingness from free will to give permission,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's consent. So in other words, if there's any level of manipulation, coercion, drug, alcohol, freezing, doesn't matter what it is, you are then, it doesn't come from free will. If it doesn't come from free will, you can't give consent. You see, permission is like the verbal cue. Permission can be given in so many different ways.
Yeah.
We always suggest that you get a verbal cue in relation to permission, but we know in the real world, you know, I don't say to my wife, excuse me, love, do you mind if tonight we, right?
Yeah.
You know, no, I make sure I can chase her. The reality is, you know, we might start kissing and so forth, and we're not talking, right? Yeah. But there's an underwriting there. We've been married for 25 years. But at the same token, we always say, listen, get a verbal cue, but put into real-world practice. But in all of these exchanges where there is a problem, you may get coerced into giving permission. You may get bullied. Sorry, yeah, to give permission. You may get bullied to give permission. Mm-hmm. You may not say anything, but assume a level of permission. You may be drunk, you may freeze, you may do a whole host of things that could be misconstrued, misrepresented as permission.
Yeah.
You know, I can literally hold a gun to your head, right, and say, and you're going to go, okay, so there you go, there's the permission.
Yeah.
But the fact that you were forced meant that you did not give consent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what Trish and I came up with and what we're trying to push is that you need two things. You need consent and permission. Because I can promise you, if you've been sexually assaulted, you can navigate this conversation, replay it as many times as you need. You know, reach out to us, happy to talk to you. But have a look at it and go, if you're taking accountability and responsibility, what you're really doing is taking accountability and responsibility, potentially on the permission side of things, definitely not on the consent side of things. So if you're married, you married to your husband or your wife, and therefore it is assumed that I can touch you whenever the damn hell. No, that's just absolutely fundamentally wrong. No, you have every right in a marriage to say no, not tonight. To say no, not tomorrow night. To say no, not ever.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, if you're on a first date, being taken out on a date does not give consent or permission.
Yeah.
Sending nude photos, saying that you want to do all of these sexual things isn't consent or permission. Yep, you're leading them on. Yep, you may even at that point absolutely want to. You may actually be giving them at that point in time your consent and permission. Mm-hmm. And you can be halfway through the act and still pull the pin.
Yes.
For whatever reason. It could be anything. I don't care if you've got a hammy cramp. I don't care if you've changed your mind. I don't care if you feel scared. I don't care if it wasn't nice. I don't care. Whatever the reason, you have every right at any point in time to withdraw it, to say stop, enough. And it needs to be respected immediately. That doesn't mean we stop, we pull things to the side while the manipulation goes on and then it continues. Because then, although you may give permission, you're not giving consent and therefore you've been sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, our message and something that we want to push to the world is that in order to be touched in any way, shape, or form by another human being, you need to give consent and permission. Consent is from free will. It's the willingness to give permission, and permission are the verbal cues. So that was the message. There's a little story behind the scenes. This is where it came from. And I think it's really awesome and amazing, you know, not only to be able to be in a position where we can do these things, but where I've got an incredible human being like Trish, where I can bounce things off and we can flesh these out to hopefully, you know, set some people free from guilt and shame. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah. And it goes in line to what we were talking about yesterday as well, where we gathered this idea really of being in front of the camera and the mic and just starting this podcast is we were talking about it's not everything can be seen as one dimensional.
Yeah.
And it goes well with consent and permission. It's not everything is one dimensional. Not everything can be seen as one after the other, or
yeah,
it needs to be seen as a multidimensional.
Yeah, because that discussion came from, I said to Trish, you know, one of the messages that I want to start talking about, and one of the things that I'm exploring in my life and that I'm going to hopefully help you navigate is mindfulness.
Yeah.
In other words, to have your mind constantly turned on in a mindful way and not in a fixed position. Mm-hmm. See, we often talk about belief systems and how belief systems impact your perceptions, which is your filtering system. Your perceptions impact your perspective, which is the story that you tell yourself. And your perspective impacts your prospective, which is the way in which you believe things are going to happen in the future. And when that system is in place, which it is on every single subject that we know about, it then impacts our belief systems, empowers it, and makes us right. So what am I talking about? Another way of explaining that is in our mind, 1 + 1 = 2. Without any level of complexity to it, there's no tricks of the trade, 1 + 1 = 2. And the reality is that answer is incorrect and it's wrong, yet we accept it. If I said 1 + 1 = 2, you would accept it and we would move on. There would be no thought about it, but it's not necessarily accurate and it's not necessarily true. 1 + 1 does not always equal 2. So why do we just accept it if I go 1 + 1 = 2, as opposed to having an open mind, getting all the information before we move on from that point? So in other words, I said yes, and therefore it's my fault.
Yeah.
1 + 1 = 2, right? But if we explore that and you go, if I have one pile of rocks and I have another pile of rocks, I have two pile of rocks. But if I add 1 + 1, one pile of rocks to the other pile of rocks, how many piles of rocks do I have?
Just one.
Just one. Yeah. Right? That's the reality. So 1 + 1 in that case equals 1. Yet before we bypassed that and said, no, 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 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
And therefore, I verbalized yes, even though I was feeling threatened, manipulated, bullied, harassed. I feared for my life. I feared for my physical well-being. I feared for my mental well-being. I feared for the reputation I might get. I feared for the repercussion. I feared for, you know, I might be in a marriage and I just don't want that horrible conversation. So, yes.
Yeah.
But 1 + 1 does not equal 2. In that case, yes, permission is 1. Consent is 0. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's like, no, 0. No consent plus permission means back the fuck off.
Yeah.
It does not mean go ahead. And I think that's the power in it. So then when we look at that, multidimensional, and we start looking at that in all areas of our life and go, where else do I have a fixed mindset? Where do I have a fixed mindset that leads me to an outcome, for argument's sake? I tell you a story about my daughter. Well, I'm not telling you, Trish, but I'm sharing this with other people, yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, my daughter was going through a stage where she's dating men and, you know, they would want to sleep with her. She's 21 years of age and very, very, she's in the gym every day, very stunning young lady. And of course they, you know, young men want young men. They're not men, they're boys. They're scum. Anyway, I'm going on another rant now.
They're young boys. And I understand right? where you're coming from because, yeah.
Right. So she's like, why am I not ever good enough, Dad? Now, for a father to hear that, it breaks your heart. When you have a young, beautiful daughter asking you the question, why am I never good enough? And then when you say, it's not you, babe, it's like, Dad, you say that, but then why does it keep happening? 1 + 1 = 2 in her mind.
Yeah.
One being, I've got a guy that I'm attracted to. I offer myself to him. He throws me in the rubbish bin. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Why am I not ever good enough, Dad? And I'm like, ugh. My heart's broken because I'm explaining to her that your equation is wrong.
Yeah, I can just see you wanting to punch that guy.
Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. One or two of these guys go to the gym that I go to.
Yeah.
And yes, I even have access to that. Mm-hmm. But here's the reality. She has to learn what a bad man is.
Yeah.
I can't go and bash everyone because it takes so. I mean, A, I can't go and do that all the time, right? But B, the lesson has to be in her. She has to get hurt in order to learn. One of the things I say to people is never, ever, ever rob your children of a learning experience, right? I could try and play hardball and do all these things and be the man, and but what is she going to learn from that?
Yeah.
I could walk up to him in the gym, you come near my daughter again, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And there's a high probability that he's going to go, okay, yeah, well, I mean, based on that, yep, no, gotcha, I'm not going to go near your daughter again. And then there's going to be the other one that wants to punch me in the nose, or the other one that's going to want to sleep with her despite me.
Yeah.
So violence is never going to be the answer.
Absolutely.
But the lesson for her is you need to manage your boundaries, my beautiful girl, because I'm unable to manage them for you.
Yeah.
Because what happens when I'm not there?
Yeah.
You need to manage your boundaries. You need to know your worth. So let's get back to the equation. Is it that she's not good enough? Now, I know a lot of the beautiful people that listen to this podcast are going to be saying it's got nothing to do with her, that fucking scumbag, bloke, blah, 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 right? And you go, whether this is a man, whether this is a woman, because it happens both ways, but this is the reality. Why am I not good enough? Well, what is good enough in his eyes?
Yeah.
Right? What is good enough in his eyes? What if good enough was a woman that had a good figure, took care of herself, did as she was told,
mm-hmm.
shut her mouth, didn't be cleverer than him, didn't be stronger than him, didn't be faster than him, right? Accepted the bullshit, right? Was able to be ghosted at any point in time. And at any time in the future, when contacted, come running back, panting like a little dog, going, I can't wait for you to do whatever it is that you want to do to me tonight.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the reality. You're going, in that person's world, he's going, no, I don't want a woman that tells me that taking drugs is bad. I want to be able to go out on a bender and you'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
I want to be able to sleep with other women and you be cool with that. I want to spend time with the boys and that, Friday night, Saturday night, but if I've got nothing on Sunday, bang, how about you come round, you know, and really. Now, if you're looking for only sexual exchange, great little hookup, right? Awesome. Do you, no judgment. Yeah. But if you're looking for a relationship and someone isn't at the stage where they're ready for a relationship, it's not that you're not good enough. It has nothing to do with you. And I actually say, although your self-worth is very low, watch your ego.
Yeah.
Stop thinking it's you. It's not all about you. You know, you see, yeah. What's happening in that exchange is that you are getting hooked up into their potential.
Yeah.
As a consequence of their potential, and let me tell you this, we all have good potential.
Yeah.
Even the shitty ones have good potential, regardless of how far that may be, right? The potential is there. Let's look at the narcissist, right? Why do people stay? Because their partner sees their potential.
Yeah.
But they're a narcissist, and therefore the potential will never, ever be realized.
Absolutely.
But you're in love with an avatar of a person that you've created that they are not and never will be.
Yeah. It goes along with the idea of I can change him or I can change her.
Yeah.
Like, with narcissism, when a person, like, let's say, we know that this person is narcissistic, and like for me, let's say I'm going after a guy who I know is narcissistic, and I keep, and everybody is telling me this guy is trouble, but no, I can change him.
Yeah,
that's still a.
Do you know what? It's almost narcissistic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's also very narcissistic for you to do, to be changing another person who you see is very, very different.
Yeah. It's one of those things where we fall in love with. Listen, let me just rewind, because so many people that are in a relationship with a narcissist ask the question, am I the narcissist? Because I've just said what I've said, I want you to understand that, no, you're not the narcissist, right? You know, you're breaking, you're hurting, you're suffering. And it's not that your ego, it's your desperation, it's your, you know, you've got kids, you've got a life, you've got a house, you've got a mortgage, you've got this plan of the future, right? And you want it so much. And you're putting that is actually your blinkers, your blinder, as to why you can't make the right decision, and that's to kick his or her ass to the curb.
Yeah.
Right? That's the reality. But when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you're dealing with someone where reality and truth has no relevance. And if you're dealing with someone where the reality is, where reality and truth has no relevance, then you're going to have a lot of problem, because if reality and truth aren't part of an equation, what are you dealing with? Well, you're dealing with like a grandiose sense of self-importance, right? A need for excessive admiration, right? A sense of entitlement, exploitive type behavior, and little to no empathy.
Yeah.
That's going to be really difficult to create a strong relationship from.
Yeah.
Right.
It's impossible to
trick. It's impossible, right?
Yeah.
It's impossible from a relationship front. As we know, it's impossible from a work front, right? Yeah. Narcissism is narcissism wherever it sits. And here's something that I've recently re-exposed myself to, and I'm not going to go through it right now. But one of the things I can say is if you've been around a narcissist, regardless of your knowledge base, their toxicity, even when you know it's happening, permeates your soul.
Yeah.
You can academically rationalize it. You can even take yourself away from hurt when you're at a higher level, but it doesn't stop their toxicity getting into you.
Yeah.
And it's that breaks you down. And I always say, if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, no matter what it is, run. Right? Get yourself the damn hell out of there.
Yeah.
So that's that. I think this is a really fantastic discussion.
Yeah.
And Trish, we've got a lot more discussions that we're going to have. So what we're going to do is, this is going to become kind of like a series. So give us your feedback. If this is something that you're interested in, if you're interested in hearing this kind of discussion, please let us know, because we're going to do more of these. So we've covered on and touched on a few areas here. We've definitely talked about sexual assault. We've talked about consent and permission. We've talked about abuse. We've talked about, well, we're briefed on boundary management. We haven't gone into the depths of it. Maybe we explore that next time, because it's definitely a topic that requires a lot of attention. We've touched on narcissism, mm-hmm. So I think we've covered off on a few subjects. But I think, you know, unless you think otherwise, Trish, I mean, what we can perhaps touch on is some of the direction that we're going to go on moving forward. So predominantly, because my content has been picked up by 90% of women, mm-hmm. It was very women orientated. However, I get approached, 9 out of 10 people that approach me in the gym are men.
Yeah.
And they're going, love your content. And it's like they're a little closet listener, right? Because men, I'm one of them, grapple with vulnerability.
Yeah.
Right? We grapple with talking about our mental health, with talking about anxiety, with talking about how to deal with women.
Yeah.
Men don't know how to be men these days. They definitely don't know how to relate to women these days.
Yeah.
And we do have some pretty powerful opinions out there on how to navigate this space, and most of them to catch media attention, to get exposure, are very extreme.
Yeah.
Right? You look at the Andrew Tates of the world, where he's gone very extreme to grab attention, right? And, you know, he covers some good points. He said some pretty shitty things. And it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, where we're going to cover it from the base, the level that I've lived, I've exposed, you know, and obviously the men I talk to, because I do talk to a lot of men, even though people don't know it. People think, oh, you help women. And they come up and say, do you help men? I'm like, do you realize I am a man?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yes, I understand the other side. And I've been in that rare situation where, because I've worked with so many women from around the world.
And a lot of our questions and our and the people who comes out for podcasts and everything are women. And I'm not saying that 90% of the women are getting abused and just only 10% are men, because that's not
at all. No, absolutely not. You know, and it is a cry to say, you know, if you're a woman out there and you know a man that's struggling,
yeah,
you know, and you think that he may relate to our content, you know, put him in contact with us. If you're a man out there, you know, please come forward. You want to see some of the dudes that come up to me at the gym, and I say dudes because, A, I'm trying to be cool, B, but they're dudes. Like, they're tattooed, big, strong, 6 foot, you know, rippling with muscles like tradies.
Yeah.
Right? Where you go, oh, no, these blokes are going to. No. And they're coming in and they're breaking down and they're crying and they're hurting and they're suffering and they need help. But as a consequence of there being no help out there for them, they turn to each other. And when you turn to each other and the reference point is low, where do they go? So we're trying to give them a space and a platform where they can be heard there. So we're going to cross-pollinate that. And at the moment, we've got a membership. And please feel free to go to my website, jamierider.com.au. I'm sure there'll be a link somewhere. Trish will put a link there to our membership. And this membership is predominantly, well, at the moment, it's solely women in the membership. But I am going to open in the fullness of time, particularly if there's more and more interest, one for men. And I don't want to blend them. And the reason that I don't want to blend them is because the conversation is very different.
Yeah.
You know, a woman's not going to come forward, talk about, you know, abuse from a man with men in the room. So it's very, that's why we're going to keep them separate. If you don't identify as a man or a woman, no, I am not going to open up a platform for that. I think there are people a lot better trained or have a greater understanding of that space than I do. Will we touch on it from time to time? Yes, but is it a space that I'm going to specialize in? Absolutely not. And I don't think I'm qualified to do so. If I don't think I'm qualified to do it, I don't do it. You know, have I helped people in that space? Hundreds. But I'm not going to open up a membership for that space. I think there's better people out there than me for it. But I think that's enough for today, Trish. Again, if you're out there, you're grappling with self-worth, you're grappling with self-belief systems, you're grappling with trauma, if you're grappling with sexual consent, if you're grappling with narcissism, with boundary management, if you are struggling with life, if you don't know your purpose, if you're looking for direction, if you don't have vision, or if you just want to grow as a human, please feel free to reach out to us. We're there for you. Join the Phoenix membership. Incredible. I'm not going to promote it any further than that. You join the membership, you get two 45-minute sessions a week. You get access to my Phoenix program. You get access to all my live events as part of the membership. And for $69 a month, I mean, it's incredible value. But that's as far as I'm going to go with that. Trish, thank you so much for several things. One, just for you being you. Two, for having the ability to tell me I'm crazy when I'm crazy, know when I need to hear no, but to support, you know, everything that we do. Couldn't do it without you.
Yes. I love it being here. I love being part of this incredible, incredible team.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, Trish, do you know how to end it?
Of course I do.
Well, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Stuck in my head every single day. Your voice playing. Stay strong.
Yeah.